The lay mill was a shipmaster, clan bred for a life traversing the barren distance between the space home constellation and Eunimeron, the prime life host. It hung at the hub of the ship's central life support ovoid as the drive was readied for flight. There was nothing like the human arrangement of decks and machinery present even in Voidhawks. The protective metal shell contained a biological nest womb, a woody growth honeycombed with chambers and voyage-duration pouches for travellers, creating an exotic organic grotto. Chambers were clustered together without logic, like elongated bubbles in a dense foam. The walls had the texture of tough rubber, pocked with hundreds of small holes to restrain hoofs, and emitting a fresh green radiance. Organs to maintain the atmosphere and recycle food were encased in the thicker partitions. The all-pervasive greenness was subtly odd to Ione's human brain. Tubular buttress struts curved through the chamber around the laymill body, flaring out where they merged with a wall. Its three hooves were pushed into holes, buttocks resting on a grooved mushroom stool. Its hands were closed on knobbly protrusions. A teat stalactite hung centimetres from the feeding mouth. The position was rock-solid and immensely comfortable. The nest womb had grown into a flawlessly compatible layout with the shipmaster's body. All three heads slid around in slow-weaving motions, observing small opaque composite instrument panels that swelled out of the wall. Ione found it hard to tell where the plastic began and the cells ended. The cellular-mechanical fusion was seamless, as though the womb nest was actually growing machinery. Panel-mounted lenses projected strange graphics into the laymill's eyes in a fashion similar to human AV projectors. As the heads moved, they provided snatched glimpses into other chambers through narrow passageways. She saw one of the laymill passengers cocooned in its voyage-duration pouch. It was swaddled in translucent, glittery membranes that held it fast against the wall, and a waxy hose supplying a nutrient fluid had been inserted into its mouth, with a similar hose inserted into its anus, maintaining the digestive cycle, a mild form of hibernation. The laymill's shipmaster thoughts were oddly twinned, as though the recording was of two separate thought patterns. On a subsidiary level, it was aware of the ship's biological and mechanical systems. It controlled them with a processor's precision, preparing the fusion tube for ignition, maintaining altitude through small reaction thrusters, computing a course vector, surveying the four nest wombs. There was a similarity here to the automatic functions a human's neural mnemonics would perform, but as far as she could ascertain, the shipmaster possessed no implants. This was the way its brain was structured to work. The ship's biotechnology was subsentient, so in effect the shipmaster was the flight computer. On an ascendant level, its mind was observing the planet below through the ship's sensor faculty. Eunimeron was remarkably similar to a terra-compatible world where broad blue oceans and vast white cloud swirls, the poles home to smallish ice caps. The visual difference was provided by the continents. They were a near-uniform green, even the mountain ranges had been consumed by the vegetation layer. No piece of land was wasted. Vast blue-green cobweb structures hung in orbit slightly below the ship's 1,000-kilometer altitude. These were the sky havens, most 200 kilometers in diameter, some greater, rotating once every 5 or more hours, not for artificial gravity, but simply to maintain shape. They were alive, conscious with vibrant mentalities, greater than that of a space home even. A combination of spaceport and magnetosphere energy node, with manufacturing nodules clamped round the hub like small bulbous tangerine barnacles. But the physical facets were just supplementary to their intellectual function. They formed an important aspect of the planet's life harmony, smoothing and weaving the separate continental essence thoughts into a single unified planet-wide gestalt. Mental communication satellites, though they contributed to the gestalt as well and sang to distant stars, that voice was beyond Ione completely, both its message and its purpose, registering as just a vague cadence on the threshold of perception. She felt a little darker for its absence. The laymill shipmaster considered it magnificent. The sky havens were packed close together with small variance in altitude, allowing them to slide along their various orbital inclinations without ever colliding. No segment of the planet's sky was ever left open. It was an amazing display of navigational exactitude. From a distance it looked as though someone had cast a net around Eunimeron. She tried to gauge the effort involved in their growth, a planet-girdling structure, and failed. Even for a species with such obvious biotechnology and engineering supremacy, the Skyhavens were an awesome achievement.